I chose this story, Luke 15, to speak on. It's one of my favourite stories in the Bible. Everyone's got their favourite stories. And this is one of my favourite stories. But before I chose this, I did pray about it, obviously, to see what I should bring today. And I felt this was a good story to bring. Probably because of the connections. The last time I came here, or a time before I came here, when we had our away day in that hall, there was a amount of pigs, loads of pigs on that field there. I've been told there's still pigs over there somewhere, but there's pigs all in the front, which I thought was great. Because even though at the moment I'm a painter and decorator, I used to be a pig farmer. And I loved it. I turned up and I went, great, there's pigs! And everyone thought I was mad. And it was raining. And everyone wanted to go down to the beach. And I'm going over to the pigs. So I wandered over to the pigs. And I'm like, oh, look at these. These are brilliant. So I brought some pigs with me. Not real ones, obviously. Because I fell into working with pigs. And I really enjoyed it. And I loved it. And I loved the attitude that the pig gives. The pig's characters. And like most animals, they've got attitude. So I brought my little pigs with me. I've been bought these for birthday presents over the past years. I mean, you might have seen them in shops. They're like little micro pigs. They come with their own little box and straw and everything. So I've got that one. I haven't got names for these, by the way, so don't worry. Yeah, I'm not that in depth. I've got a nice little brown, spotty-looking one. On my pig farm, wasn't my pig farm, but on a pig farm I worked for, we had a mixture of pigs. They were mostly, they were crossed three ways, from a Landrace to a Middle White, and then a little bit of Duroc in them. So the Duroc in the pig gave us this colour, this rich ginger brown colour. And there's a nice one sitting down, look at that, that's cute, isn't it? Just imagine if that was real, they'd be everywhere, wouldn't they? Yeah. So I brought my little pigs with me. So yeah, so this story in the Bible is a parable. Jesus tells this parable, excuse me, of the lost son. A story, a parable is a story to make us understand. Sometimes we read parables and we think, oh, I ain't got a clue. They're supposed to be stories that make us understand, make it a bit easier for us. And they do, to a degree. This one was about a lost son. We understand, it's easy to understand stories, isn't it? I don't know if you come across people that tell you stories. And these stories are called testimonies. And they say, I'll tell you my testimony, meaning I will tell you my story, how I become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes, well, I tend to find, because I'm very involved with a group called CVM, Christian Vision for Men, and they tell people their story. And then people go, oh, that sounds great, I want some of that. So stories are good things to tell because people really listen in and get onto that. And Jesus knew this. So as he was telling this story, it wasn't just a flippant story out there. I'll chuck this one out and see how it goes. He knew everyone that he was talking to. I don't know every one of you. I don't know any of your backgrounds, apart from maybe one or two of you here. But he knew everyone he was talking to. He knew their background. He knew the circumstance of the area at the time. He knew the culture he was in. He knew the people he was talking to, rich, poor, whatever. He knew everyone at that point. So he knew exactly how to convey the story, which is very important when you're speaking the gospel. Know the people you're talking to. I'm at a disadvantage here because I don't know any of you apart from one or two. But this is what Jesus was talking about. This is what a story is about. I will convey you this story. And that's what he's saying. So this is what the parable was about. A story. A way of expressing and telling people how to put something across in a story form. A bit like a picture book. When you look at a picture book and it's all little pictures, no writing. And you can gather the story by just looking at the pictures. I like looking at pictures. Sometimes stories are hard to talk. To read, so looking at pictures, you can figure it out easier. So what's this story about then? Two sons. two sons, an older one and a younger one. The younger one had enough. And what did he want? He wanted his share of his father's estate. In that time, the father who owned land, when he died, he would have given, that land would have been divided up, and he would have got, the younger son would have got a third of the estate. But his son wanted that early. He had enough of working for his dad. He wanted that early. He wanted to go and expand on things he's never touched before. So he asked his dad for his portion, his part of his estate early so he can spend it. So what did his dad do, his father do? He said, yeah, okay. He gave it to him. Don't know how, it doesn't say, but he gave him that part. He gave him a load of money. That was what it was worth. That's the worth bit. He gave him a load of money and said, go on then, that's your part of the estate. Just go and do whatever you want to do with it. Well, he might not have said that, but you know, I'm just improvising a little bit. So he did. What did he do? We read that he goes off and he spends his money on wild living. Well, wild living in there, it could be anything from gambling to drinking to buying stuff to wasting money on all sorts of stuff. You don't have to look very far to see wild living in today's society. Just walking down any high street, how many gambling booths do you see? How many places where you can put a bet on do you see? And that's part of it. This son, this younger son, was just wasting his money on all sorts of stuff. And then what happened? We read there was a famine in the land. Do you know what a famine is? What's a famine? That's it. Well, there's not enough food for everyone. We read of places, what's going through hard times now, don't we? Where they've had floods and there's famine and there's all sorts of stuff going on, like in Mozambique and out there and that way. But they had a famine in the place where the younger son was. And guess what? He had run out of money, so he couldn't sustain himself. Sustain, it's a long word. He couldn't help himself. So what did he do? He went to a citizen of that country. A citizen of the country. He went to someone who lived in that country. He went to a far distant country to spend his money, and he stayed there. And when there was a famine, he thought, I've got to earn money somehow. I've got to get money. So he went up to the citizen of that country, someone that lived in that land, who had a farm, probably a big farm, and he asked him if he could be hired to do some work, to get some money, because I've spent all everything. So what did he do? Yeah, we got a job for you. You can go and feed these pigs. Nice little pigs. He thought, oh, that's not too difficult. Feeding pigs, that's great. It doesn't say it in this story, and it's very clever. You could work it out as you look into the story. But when Jesus was telling this story and the stories previously, he was talking to the Pharisees that were the teachers of the law. But he's also talking to a culture of Jewish key people from Jewish backgrounds that stuck to the law of Moses. So he's talking to that culture. So he knew that when he mentioned the word pigs, he knew that that culture would go, whoa, do you what? You fed pigs? Type thing. Because pigs were looked upon as dirty, unclean, disgusting animals. And the Jewish person wasn't allowed to touch the pigs. And to feed pigs meant that you were the lowest of the low. You were down there. You had to be really low to feed pigs. He still got a job though, didn't he? But that was the culture. We look upon it and think, well, that's not a problem. But that was the time. So Jesus was telling this story to this culture. And he mentioned that the young son went to feed pigs. It was the lowest point. It was the point of humiliation. You know what humiliation is? What's humiliation? where you made fun of really bad, where you really kept low, where you looked at in a worthless position, humiliated, your what you feel is good's been taken away from you. That's humiliation, isn't it? And you feel really bad. It was the lowest point to feed pigs. But he was hungry. So even though he was working to feed pigs, he must have not been getting anything else. But he was hungry. So what did he do? He kept on looking at all these pods that they would give the pigs and thinking, I wonder what they taste like. They must be nice. Might pop a couple of them. When I worked on the pig farm, we had these pellets, and they were the big pellets, and they were made up of wheat and barley and all sorts of stuff, molasses, and bunged in and created these pellets. And we used to just shovel them into a bucket, and then we used to go out and feed the pigs, and we'd give them the exact amount of pellets per pig. And we had to make sure they had the right pellets. But you can imagine this younger son looking at these pods thinking the pigs are eating them. Maybe I can eat them. And he was hungry. And I love this bit because in the Bible it says this. It says in verse 17, when he came to his senses. I love that bit. When he came to his senses. He was doing all this. He was hungry. And he suddenly thought, light bulb moment. Ding. Hold on. What am I doing? My father's got slaves that feed better than me, that live better than me. What am I doing here? I know. I'm going to go back. Light bulb moment. He came to his senses. I love that bit. And he decided to go back to his father to work for him. Now you notice that. He didn't just decide to go home. Oh, yeah, right, well, I wasted all my money. I'm just going to go home and, you know, it'd be fine. Dad's going to give me loads of money. It'd be right. They'll look after me. They'll feed me. No, he came to his senses. He felt so humiliated that he suddenly thought, how can I go back to my father even though the servants eat better than me? He must have felt so low. So what was the plan? The plan was to go back and to work as a servant. It says in here, but while he was... I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Wow. He was really low. He was really humiliated. It was at that point that he probably felt there is no other way. It's either that, being a servant, or going hungry and not having nothing to eat. So he wanted to make himself as his father's hired servant. So what happened? I love this bit. This bit always gets picked up on when people talk about this, don't they? As he was going back, let's find it, let's read it. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. What's compassion? Yes. Yeah, all that compassion. It's where you suddenly have an outpouring of love and mercy and kindness towards someone. That's compassion. And he said this, while he was still afar off, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion. And what did he do? He ran to his son. He didn't just stand and go, oh, he's coming. Yeah, I'll wait for him to come here. I'll just sit and wait, it'll be fine. He ran to his son, and what did he do? He grabbed his son, put his arms around him, and kissed him. All right, that could be a cultural thing, but that could also be the compassion thing coming out as well. He grabbed him, he hugged him, he kissed him. Why? Because he came back. It was his son coming back. It wasn't just someone coming back to work as a hired servant. It was his son. He saw him at a distance, so he ran to him. So his son immediately asked for forgiveness. He knew he had done wrong. He knew what he had done by taking all that money taking his part of his inheritance and wasting it on wild living, on weird things, on stuff that he shouldn't be spending it on. He knew he had done wrong. And immediately when his father touched him, hugged him, he asked for forgiveness. His heart must have been melting at that point. Got to remember, this is still a parable. This is still a story. But it grips you, doesn't it? It really grips you. You know when you're reading a book and you've got that story going, you go, oh, I can't put this book down. It's really gripping. This is like that, but this has got a meaning behind it. So his father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe. Didn't just say, go and get that coat. Quick, you know, you've got to do it now. Quick, go and get the best robe and get sandals on his feet and put a ring on his finger. Do you know what? The resemblance of that, putting a robe on someone, covering them, keeping them covered, putting the best robe on someone, the highest possible robe to go around someone, giving something of worth, feeling covered, completely covered, putting a ring on his finger was also a sign of worth. Yeah? He was his son. So he gave him a ring, a substantial ring, something of worth, something possibly very expensive. Put it on your finger. You are worth something. So he got him to put the ring on his finger because he wanted him to know that even though he ran away, he still loved him and treated him as a son, and he was still that high level. He wasn't down here no more. It was back up here. That's how his father was coming across to him. And then he said, put sandals on his feet. That's a funny thing to say, isn't it? Put some Nikes on. Go and get some Adidas. Put sandals on his feet. Know why? Because in them days, they had servants, and servants never had sandals. They had bare feet. Some of us like walking around in bare feet. I don't know, I'm getting stones on my feet. Servants had bare feet. So by saying put sandals on his feet, it was again lifting him up and saying, look, you are of worth. You are my son. You are having sandals on your feet. You are not a servant. He was lifting him up again. Three times he lifted him up. A robe, a ring, a sandals. Worth, 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 pouring in to him. And what else did he say? Bring the fattened calf. Now, a fattened calf, lose my voice a bit, excuse me. A fattened calf was held for times of celebration and times when they wanted to celebrate. It's a special event, a special time. A calf would be brought in and put aside in a small little area, a small manger, and fed and fed and fed and fattened up so it can boom, 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 boom. Yeah, get really big, in fact. No exercise, so it fattened up so that they could kill it and that everyone would have a lovely piece of meat. A fattened calf was the juiciest, was the best, was the primest meat. You couldn't get the best meat going. I was trying to give an example, but I can't think of one other than those cows, what the Japanese do. Wagyu burgers. You heard of them? Wagyu burgers, where they massage the cow. And oh, it's a bit strange, yeah. But the meat is so tender and juicy and everything about it, and they're kept. And the fattened calf is a bit like it's kept for special times. So he said, go and get the fattened calf. Why? Because my son's come back. So he got the fattened calf. And what do we say? What does it read here? It says, we got the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Oh, that's great, isn't it? I love that story. Brilliant. But it didn't end there, did it? It carried on. God, that story could have ended there. Do you know when you're reading the book, you're thinking, oh, halfway through this book and this story's already finished. I've still got this man to go. That's like this. We've still got a bit more to go. But that was a brilliant story, wasn't it? His father just forgave him straight away, poured out compassion on his son that took everything with him and wasted it, but showed him that he was worth something to him. He meant something to him. He had forgiven him for taking away all that money and for wasting it. That's what he was showing. But the story don't end there. The story continues. I will be brief. The elder brother. We said at the beginning, it's a story of two brothers. There's several stories in the Bible about two brothers, isn't it, or brothers. Two brothers, the elder brother. What was he doing? He was working in the fields, happy as Larry. I don't know if his name's Larry, but anyway, happy as anything. And then he heard a commotion. So he went down to see what's happening at the house. And he asked the servant, what's going on? And the servant said, your brother has come home. And your dad has killed the fattened calf for him. Isn't it great? Yeah, right. Isn't it great? His elder son probably didn't think it was that great. As we read in here, we read, the elder son became angry and refused to go in. Why was that? Why did he become angry that his younger son, a younger brother who had come home, was it because his younger son got all the bits back? He got reconciled back into the family, got a fattened calf done for him? Let's read. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out to him and pleaded with him. Another example of compassion. He didn't just say, fine, you stay out there then. I'm going in here for a party. No, he knew the older brother would have been, he could probably sense the feeling of anger. So he went out to him, went to him. Okay, remember that. His father went to the elder brother. And he answered the father and said, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. Slaving. Christ, a harsh word, isn't he? This is the elder brother that, you know, they're held in respect because they're going to be given the inheritance. But he said, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. God, he was harsh. He was having a go. A young goat, a small goat. He wasn't saying a fattened calf. He was saying a small goat. He didn't even give me that. He was being harsh, wasn't he? Or was he? But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes come home, you killed a fattened calf for him? You can see a sense of anguish there, couldn't you? A sense of frustration, yeah? You can see a sense of bitterness, resentfulness, unforgiveness there, building up. My son, the father said. Remember that? He said, my son. He still approached him as a level of higher quality. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. The older son had forgotten that. He had been working and he forgets all that. And sometimes it's easy to forget things when you're doing stuff. But we have to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. See, the elder son wasn't lost as such. He was still working at the farm. But when all this was going on and he saw his younger brother getting all of the rings and the sandals and the robes, he probably felt, oh, this is a bit unfair. Probably felt angry, resentful because maybe he felt he wasn't getting a fair crack of it. His father showed forgiveness to the younger son, yes, and also to the older son. The older son, he wouldn't show forgiveness. The elder son refused to forgive because of his bitterness and resentment, rendering him just as lost as the younger son. Are we sometimes a bit like that? When we see people, do we judge them in a way of worthless or worthiness? Are we forgiving? Jesus taught this parable, as most other parables, to teach us. To teach us to do what? to teach us to act in the way that Jesus acts. In the children's talk, I mentioned that Jesus spoke to people that other people wouldn't speak to. He spoke to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman who no one would go near because she was a Samaritan. She was a woman of a mixed culture, and the Jewish and the Pharisees, they wouldn't go near her. They had separate times where they would mix. But Jesus said, no, I'm not having this. I am mixing with everyone. And he mixed with them. Parables teach us to live a life like Jesus had lived, to show the love like Jesus showed, to give worth to people that are worth less. How many times do you go past and you see the homeless sitting in the street? They're the easy ones to highlight because they're the people that you see in the street. But how easy it is to avoid talking to someone or making someone feel worthless by a conversation. How easy it is to put people down. But what's the hardest thing is, how easy is it for you to forgive people? If someone's put you down or made you feel worthless, do you forgive them? Have you got Jesus living in you? If you've got Jesus as your personal Savior today, He has forgiven you everything. He died on the cross. We come up for Easter and He died on the cross. That's what Easter's about, isn't it? Easter's not just about chocolate. We like the chocolate bit. But Easter's about Jesus dying on the cross and rising again back to life. Why? Because He had to be a sacrifice to take away the sin that we have. And by believing in Him, we can become forgiven. And a son or daughter of God. God says that. Believe in my Son and you will be heirs. You will be like my Son. Now that's harsh, isn't it? You think, well, but He's done all that. And now if I believe in Him, I'm going to be the same. That's what forgiveness is. That's what forgiveness is. Do you forgive people? I find it difficult to forgive people. I'll be honestly truthful. I find it really difficult to forgive people. And Jesus is working through me for that. His Holy Spirit is changing me. You should see what I was a while ago. But Jesus changes you. Once you become a believer, He transforms you. He turns you into something that is beautiful. Something that people in this society and even politicians don't get. He turns you into Himself. He turns you into someone that's shining for Him. He to show love, compassion, forgiveness to people that don't necessarily need love, compassion, forgiveness. Coming to know Jesus at Easter time is one of the best times to know Jesus, because that's the beginning, when Jesus gave His life for you and died on that cross and then rose again to proclaim the promises. And then He'd come back and He showed Himself to people that didn't believe in Him, showed Himself to Thomas, showed Himself to people that think, wow, He's alive? We saw Him hanging on the cross. He's done that because He wants you to believe in Him today. He wants you to take Jesus into your heart. Why? You might think, why do I need Jesus? Why do I need Jesus? Do you want a heart of love? Do you want a heart of joy? Do you want to be able to show love and joy to people? Do you want your sins forgiven? I know someone that read Revelation, the last book in the Bible that talks about the end times, and he'd become a believer after reading Revelation. That's being pushed into it, I think. But Jesus loves you, and He wants you to love Him back. That's what the cross was all about. And to come a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ means you'll take on these attributes and that you will start shining for Him. Shining for Him. He can take you at your lowest point and He can lift you up. A bit like the parable. He could put a ring on your finger. He could put sandals on your shoes. And He could put a robe around you. And you won't be a servant. But you will be a son of God. A child of God. You will be a child of God. That's where He lifts you to. That parable is a lovely parable. Even though I like it because of the pigs in it. But it's a lovely parable. He lifts you to that level where you are a child of God. If you're not a child of God today, and you want to be a child of God, then I'm sure there's people you can see and talk to here, or come and see me. John 3 verse 16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Only begotten Son. There's not going to be another way to God. Jesus is the only way. I'll leave that thought for you. If you want to find out a bit more, please ask. Please see someone afterwards and ask. And yeah, I'll just leave that thought for you. Thank you for listening. And we'll move on to our last hymn, I think. Thank you.